Isaiah, excuse me, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3. You thought I was going to go to verse 6, didn't you? See, no, I'm not going to verse 6. We're doing 9, verse 3. And the Bible says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you for a perfect book and a perfect Savior to save us who are imperfect, full of sin. We're wicked. We don't deserve anything that you give us. And I do thank you for your perfect sacrifice. I pray that you be with me here tonight. Help me to get across the importance of your words. And I pray that this sermon would edify the brethren. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I picked this verse because, you know, it's a verse that's kind of it's a weird verse. I mean, you got the first part that says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy." And then in the second part, "They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest." It's like, what in the world does that mean? Well, we can go into that later. What I wanted to preach on tonight is the importance of not in the Bible. Now, a few of you probably heard this already, so I changed it up for you, and hopefully it'll still be edifying for you. But this one little word, this three-letter word, not, is a very important word in the Bible. If you look at John 14, 23, Jesus Christ said, "If any man love me, he will keep my words." And here, this is a Schofield reference Bible. And I look in the little note here, and it says, for the word not, it says omit. It says omit not. And then he explains why you just take it out. See, they omit it because they don't understand the verse. And so they just take out that one little word. Well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? You're taking out one little word. Change the Bible? So what? You know, maybe this guy knew Hebrew better than you. You know, I mean, or maybe he knew the textual evidence better than you did. So that just got me thinking about the importance of the word not in the Bible. Now, not shows up about 6,666 times. No, I'm just kidding. It shows up 6,597 times if I counted right, but it took me all afternoon, so I'm not sure. So, but it shows up quite a few times, and I'm not going to go into every time it shows up. We're going to cut that down just slightly and maybe go into like 100 points. And I'll do them very quickly, so you got to pay attention, stay awake. But this one word is a very important word. And it shows the importance of the words of God and every word of God. Every word of God is pure. Where I want to start tonight is at the beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 2. It's always good to be reminded of these things and even hear this sermon over again. You know what? I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago up in St. Cloud, and I don't remember what I preached. I hardly ever remember what I preach because it ain't in my notes. So in Genesis chapter 2, go to verse 17 or 15, 15 to 17, and I got to get to Genesis chapter 2. And it says here in Genesis 2, 15, "And the Lord God took the man," and while you're at it, turn to Genesis 3. "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Well, why don't you just take the word not out of there? Big deal. You know, just eat the fruit. Go ahead and eat it. Go to Genesis 3. And this is what's happening. Genesis 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now she's already, something's already happening here. She's already adding to the Word of God. Hey, you know what? She added to the Word of God before sin entered into the world. Interesting concept to think of. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Wait a minute, God said, you shall surely die. Now Satan adds not in there, changes the whole meaning. And both in Genesis chapter 2, you take the word not out, and in Genesis 3, you add the word not in, and what it shows you is that spiritual death comes from messing around with the word not. That's what you're going to get. We are in the mess we are in today because of that one little three-letter word, not. Thou shalt not surely die. And, oh, really? I'm not going to die? Well, I'll just take the fruit then. You know, I know God said not to eat it, but that's okay. Because maybe he didn't say not to eat it. Maybe I didn't hear him right. Well, my pastor said the Hebrew, well, in one of the manuscripts, it's not in there. So, hey, you know, my pastor knows better than me, right? But spiritual death comes from messing with the word not. And we have sin enter into the world. We have death. We have the second death because somebody messed with the word not. And I'll guarantee you this. We are in the trouble we're in today in this nation because Christians started messing with this word. And not only this word, but many others. Because they held themselves up as an authority over the words of the living God. And spiritual death comes from that. You want to know why Christianity is messed up? Right here. Because somebody's messing with the words of God. You know, somebody thinks they're smart enough to go to the Greek and to go to the Hebrew and correct it. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think people are smarter than God. We have national health care coming because somebody messed with the word not. You know, you don't think Nimrod had national health care? I'll guarantee you he had something going. But spiritual death comes from messing with the word not. Go to Genesis chapter 4. And you know what? Christians are spiritually dying out there now. They're dying on the vine because they don't have the words of God. And they go to their churches and hear their pastors, you know, correct the words of God. You know? As I said, a week or so ago, I said to pray for my dentist. I gave him, he said he was Christian. We were talking, and so I gave him some King James Bible tracts. And he used to go to a Baptist church up in Anoka, and now he goes to a Horizons church or something. And basically, I gave him, and he's like, well, what is going on here? Well, he said, my pastor uses both. Who cares what your pastor does? Your pastor's wrong, you know? He told me the big one out nowadays, this popular one, or the one they're pushing, is the ESV now, you know, the English Standard Version. I haven't got one yet, you know. I got to save up $1.50 so I can go to the drugstore and buy one. But basically, he told me that is the most accurate version to date. And I told him, who told you that? Some advertising, you know, some stupid pastor. And I just said, he's wrong. They're wrong. It's not the most accurate. You know what the most accurate one is? You know what the perfect one is? You know what the every word? It's right here, sitting right here, the King James Bible. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, it says, and I'll read a little bit before, talking about Eve, she again bare his brother Abel after she bare Cain, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass. Watch out for those religions that have that process of time sitting in there. That Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering, but unto Cain unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, you know what? I don't think we need the word not in there. I checked out the Hebrew, and I don't think it's in the Hebrew. It's my opinion anyway. And I heard one scholar say it wasn't in there. So why don't you just, you know, it could read, but unto Cain and to his offering he had respect. And so you start messing with the word not, and now you got God respecting Cain's works, Cain's vegetables, along with the precious blood of the lamb. So you have God respecting and accepting Cain's works if you mess with the word not. You know, and that's what we're getting nowadays. I mean, even Christians, even professing Christians nowadays are accepting and respecting other people's religions. You know what? You are not called to respect or accept a false religion. You are called to stand against it. And that's a hard thing nowadays because you're like, oh, but then people will be offended and then they won't like me. And then I won't get my promotion or I won't... You know, no, you're not supposed to respect Allah. You're supposed to respect Him. You know, I was talking a little bit this morning about the Great Spirit and the Indian religions. Those religions stink. They stink royally. They stink to high heaven. And I was, you know, a lot of people, they glorify these Indian religions, and they don't realize what these Indians did back then. You know? It's an amazing thing. And they're coming out like they're these special things, you know, and that, you know, these sweatshops are sacred. They're gonna contact the great white buffalo, you know. I mean, come on. You know, and the Indians are coming out saying, you know, the nasty Europeans come and stole their land. Well, no, we didn't. God gave it to us. Manifest destiny. But you know what? I'm not saying that the Europeans didn't mess around with Indians, but I'll guarantee you the Indians were far from perfect. And they did learn scalping a lot long before we ever came along, and they learned a lot of other things, a lot of perverted things. You know, I think about this Mayan culture that people are just lifting up. They used to sacrifice their kids, you know, to these pagan gods, you know. And it's such a wonderful religion. And we're supposed to listen to them about the end of the world. It's amazing. Because you can go out there and you can have any other religion. And people will go, wow, that's interesting. That's an interesting religion. Oh, you're a Catholic? Oh, Islam, that's very interesting. Oh, you're a Hindu? What's that? Oh, Buddhist. We got a Buddhist temple down the road. You know, that statue down there, I don't know. I've mentioned it before, but I don't know if you all know it. But that nice little statue down there that's sitting up in front of the temple, that's the Queen of Heaven. You know, the Queen of Heaven, I didn't know the Queen of Heaven worship had anything to do with Buddhism. Well, it sure does. You know, Queen of Heaven worship has a lot to do with a lot of things. But you know what? When you come with the real religion, the religion that is not about works, it's not about working for it. It's not about you justifying yourselves. It's not about you getting your own righteousness before a holy God. When you start talking about that religion, then people back off. Then they have something to say. Then they start getting angry. But throw in any other religion, and man, just bring it on. Because everything's great, except for the true biblical Christianity. But you mess with the word not, and you got God respecting Cain's works, and God didn't respect Cain. Hey, God didn't respect Cain. You say, well, what, you know, over in Romans there, it says God's no respecter of persons. Yeah, and respect to salvation. He'll take black and blue. He'll take anybody. He'll take anybody, it doesn't matter what color, what nationality, but you better come the one way he set up. If you start going through the Buddhist way or the Hindu way or the Great Spirit way or any other way, you're not going to get there. You know, he will not respect you, nor your religion, nor your works. But he is no respecter of person. You come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You start messing with the word not, and that's what you got. You got this God running around, accepted. And you know what? Most professing Christian religions out there are basically this right here, Cain's religion. Cain's religion. You know? And you got to watch out for Cain's religion, because Cain's religion always persecutes Abel's religion. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to kind of move in order here in a way. Because God is not the author of confusion. And because I couldn't figure out any other way to do it, so. In Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. And it goes on. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, the name of the Lord thy God, in vain. You know, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not kill. Well, you know what? Why don't we just take the word not out of there and just go? You know, there was a Bible. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been the one edition of the Great Bible. It had the word not out of there, a printer's there. And so they called it the Adulterer's Bible or something. You know, thou shalt commit adultery. But you know what? You know why we're in the mess we're in today? Because people started messing with the words of God. And now you can't even have the Ten Commandments. Well, we can't have the Ten Commandments on the wall. Well, we can have our Muslim students pray five times a day. We can have the little witchcraft circle. We could do that stuff. But don't have the Ten Commandments on the wall. Because we don't want our kids not to learn not to steal. I mean, hey, separation of church and state, you know. Where do we get our standards from? One day I was at Ford, and this is when Jesse Ventura made office. And boy, you know, I used to be proud to be a Minnesotan. And I voted. No, I'm sorry, I didn't vote for him. But we were talking about it, and you know what? I was talking about the fact that Jesse Ventura, well, he was for a lot of stupid things because he was stupid, but basically he ended up, his stance on abortion, you know, abortion is not a good thing. So we were talking about it, and of course everybody's like, well, what's a big deal? What's a big deal? And you know where you get into when you're messing with the words of God? I told him, I said, what do you think about Adolf Hitler, you know? What do you think about what he did, killing those Jews and all that stuff? And they were like, well, Adolf Hitler was wicked. He was a bad man. And I looked at him, I said, who are you to judge Hitler? Well, they didn't like that, you know. I said, by what standard are you judging him? Because over there at that particular time, society, the mores of the society, was all for it. And you don't think those Germans knew what was going on? They knew what was going on. They just looked the other way. There was a lot. They just believed what they were told by the propaganda machine, that these wonderful Jews were going to these wonderful work camps to make, like, wallets and stuffing. I don't know. But that's what you get into. You get into the commandments of the Lord being perverted. And the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, and it converts the soul. And you start messing with the words of God, and you don't even have a gospel to preach. Because the first part of the gospel is Jesus Christ died for your sins, and it's by the law you have the knowledge of sin, and you start perverting that, and you have nothing. You have nothing. It's nothing. And you wonder why, you know, the best, some of the gospel or whatever that's preached out there is, come down the aisle and commit your life to the Lord. Who cares? You know, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved, you know. Well, what did you do to get saved? Well, I gave my life to the Lord. That's not salvation, people. Salvation is dealing with your sin and bringing your sin to the cross of Calvary and receiving Him as your personal Savior as payment for that sin. It has nothing to do with anything. And if you start perverting the law, you have what we have nowadays. The Kehos, what's going on with Lino Lakes, you know, they've got to have a program now to figure out why they have a 90% recidivism rate. Well, I wonder why. I really wonder why. You know, I had a kid once come up to me, and he was ready. I said, would you be interested in receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, I sure would. I sure would. It was at that time, a lot of times you're talking with a group of kids, but that time it was just one-on-one. And so, you know, and I asked him, okay. I said, do you believe you're a sinner that deserves to go to hell? Well, he says, well, what's sin? I said, well, that's a good question. That is a good question. So I told him, and I explained to him, and I knew what these kids get into. I know what these kids get into. And I said, well, fornication is sin. And he said, well, what is that? And I said, I told him what it was. And he said, what? He said, that's sin? He said, you're nuts! And he got up and he walked away. And you know what? If I didn't deal with him about that, I could have had him pray a prayer with me. You know, are you ready to receive Jesus Christ as your... Well, yeah, but you know what? He had to deal with his sin. And I really love John chapter 4 when Jesus Christ goes up to the Samaritan woman and he says, you know, I got this water of life. And she says, I want that water of life. Give me the water of life. He goes, okay, yeah, well, call your husband. Oh, I don't... The guy I'm with right now really isn't my husband. Well, yeah, that you have rightly said, because you've had like four other ones, haven't you? He dealt with her sin. And you know what? The Jesus Christ that is out there today is a perverted Jesus that doesn't deal with anybody's sin. You know? And that's what you get into when you mess with the word not. Just one word. All you got to do is take it out. It's not a big deal. I mean, they take out words all the time and they add words all the time. People go to the Greek and the Hebrew all the time to correct the Bible. What's the big deal messing with the word not? What is the big deal? Well, the big deal is you have no authority but that man correcting the book. That's the big deal. Go to Leviticus chapter 6. I thought I would punch in the word not and I'd get some special number, and I have no idea what 6597 means, you know. But in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8, And it says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering. Because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on the other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Well, it says here, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. Well, you know what? Just take the word not out of there. Who cares? Put the fire out. Because that's what everybody else has done. You know, the fire on this altar represents hell. It represents God's wrath burning against the sinner for all eternity. And that fire was never supposed to be out. You know, it never was supposed to go out. And that was very important. And yet, you know, whatever. Just take it out of there. They could say, well, you know what? I wonder if God really did say that. Was Moses drinking that morning or what? You know, Noah got into trouble. I wonder if Moses did. You know, what you have when you mess with the word not is you have the doctrine of hell perverted. That's what you have. You have the fire going out. I think in Revelation 14 it says that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, those that take the mark of the beast. Well, you know, why don't you just be like a Jehovah Witness, you know, and just take it out. Because, you know, forever in the Greek really doesn't mean forever. It could be kind of like maybe a period of time, could be a long period of time, but it doesn't mean everlasting. It doesn't mean forever. You know, the fire goes out. You're just annihilated. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I was talking to that dentist again, and he brought up the Jehovah Witness. Well, the Jehovah Witness Bible is perverted. Where is it perverted? Tell me. Oh, you mean where they add one word, one little letter to John 1:1? I told him, I said, the Jehovah Witness Bible is pretty much the same thing as the NIV and all the others. I'm like, it goes right in line with them. Except all the others don't add, so what? They didn't add A to the word was a God, you know, but they mess with it everywhere else. And you say, well, you know, so what if they mess with the word of God? Big deal. The NIV, if you turn to Mark chapter 9, and when I go on the streets, you know, I try to give a balance when I preach on the streets. I try to preach about hell, about sin and judgment, and then I give them the good news. You know, this is the way out. This is the way out. And, you know, you got an NIV, and in Mark chapter 9, verse 44 and verse 46, it's out of there. You know, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established, and we can't have God saying something three times, you know. And so just take it out of there, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I know I have it right here. It's just totally taken out. This is my first study Bible after I got saved. And it's gone. It's gone clean out. I think they put a nice little note in there or something. You know, I love these, you know, study Bibles. And you get, yeah, where are we here? Well, it's totally out. No. Well, they have verse 48 in there, but that's it. And then they put in a little note, some manuscripts have this, and some manuscripts have that. Wow, that's edifying, isn't it? That's really edifying. You know, so you have Billy Graham running around saying that hell is just separation from God. You know, you have the Jehovah Witnesses running around saying it's annihilation. And you say, well, it's in, you know, hell is in other places in the Bible. So what if they take it out in two? Well, so what, you know? You know, so if I have a perverted Bible, does it still make it a Bible? Which is why I brought this. I wanted to read you something out of this. Tell me if this isn't a Bible. Let me see if I can find it. It's my favorite place in here. Here's a guy that says, is the Son of God the very eternal Father? And Amulek said unto him, yea, he is very eternal Father of heaven and earth and of all things which in them are. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Well, really? The Son of God is the eternal Father. And he shall come into the world to redeem his people. He shall take upon him the transgression of those who believe on his name. And these are they that shall have eternal life, and salvation cometh to none else. So is this a Bible? I got the deity of Christ in there. I've got the gospel, the blood atonement. He's going to take on our transgressions. Is this a Bible? Well, this is just as much of a Bible as this one right here. does the same things. Who cares? You start messing with the word not, and you don't even have anything to preach. You know that? What are you going to go out? Jesus will save you from what? From what? A bad life? From, you know, not being on the corporate ladder? I mean, what's he going to save you from? I mean, you know what? If there wasn't a hell, I wouldn't be here today. Because I got saved because there was an ever-burning hell I didn't want to go to. That's why I got saved. And you start messing with the word not, and boom, you might as well just throw that out of there too. Turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know what? In the Bible, that's the word success only shows up there, and it has to do with meditating on the Word of God. And I know doctrinally speaking, if an Israelite in the Old Testament followed the Word of God, he prospered physically. But I'll tell you this, if you want to prosper spiritually, you better not mess with the word not here. This book of the law shall depart out of thy mouth. Well, it's departed out of the mouth of many a Christian. Because, you know, whatever, they don't care. You know, there are people out there that, you know, whatever comes your way, you know. They come to the Bible and they say, "Well, you know, I don't think I like that. So I guess it's not really literal." You know, I mean, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. I ended up talking with a Jehovah's Witness at Ford. This was years ago. And he brought me in his little study book on the book of Daniel. And he's going to Daniel chapter 9. And I can't remember all that was said, but I went to my Bible. I had my Bible. I opened it up and I said, "This is what it says right here." And you know what he said to me? He said, "I know that's what it says, but it's not what it means." Whoa. That's the way it goes. You know? That's what people do with the Bible. And I'm talking about people who profess to be Bible believers. You know, they go up to the Bible. "I know that's what it says," but they're not taking it for what it says to who it says it. They're taking it for what they think it means. And if it goes cross grain to their theology, well, we can't have that. Because men of God taught me this way, and I can't go against what these men of God taught me. Even though they taught me against the book. You know. So, you start messing with the word not, you're not going to be prosperous spiritually. You're not going to have any success in your Christian life. Nothing. Not a thing. It's like, not. Go to Psalm 119. These are different points I picked out of the over 6,000 points you could have picked out. Psalm 119 and 133. David's writing, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Well, you know what? Just take out the word not. Let iniquity have dominion over you. Because I'll guarantee you this, you start messing with the Bible, and that's exactly what will happen. That's exactly what will happen. You know, I mean, you start messing with this book, you got people running around doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And they actually use the Bible to support it. Just take the word not out. Who cares? It's just one little three-letter word. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What we have is we have the message preserved. And that's what really matters, right? You know, I got told that. I mean, I just, you know, when I don't understand it, but you can have very smart people, doctorates, even doctorates in theology. And yet when it comes to spiritual things, they can't think logically, you know. They talk about the message being preserved, and they don't care about the words. But you start messing with it, and I'll guarantee you, you are going to have sin reigning over you. Because you're not going to have a book that can give you victory. You're not going to have that kind of book. It's the kind of book, when you have a book that you approach, and you think you have an authority over it, or you think your opinion or somebody else's opinion is over this book, man, you are opening yourself wide to a lot of things. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Well, I'll take the word not out. Let it reign. Go ahead. Let it reign. A lot of Christians have decided to do that. A lot of Christians who are walking with the Lord. Some Christians I personally have known, and they've just said, "You know what? Forget it. I think I'm going to take the word not out of there, and I'm just going to let it go and let sin reign in my body." That's what I'm going to do. In John 8:34, Jesus says that he that commits sin, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. Listen, if that sin is reigning over you, it's your king. You know? And Jesus Christ didn't come and die and rescue you from hell so that you can have another king reigning over you, this king of sin. And just mess with the book, and that's what you'll get. Psalm 66, verse 7. It says, He ruleth, God ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Well, take the word not out. Let's let the rebellious exalt themselves. Who cares? You know? Let sin reign over us and let it keep going. And let the, you know, that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed right now. This one world government and one world religion that's coming is man exalting himself. Rebellious, sinful man lifting himself up, exalting himself. And it happened because somebody started messing with the book. And go to Proverbs chapter 1. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:22. Actually, I'll start in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of conquerors, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? This is God speaking. This is God speaking to people. And the scorners delight in her scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Words, plural. He'll make them known to you. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they cry upon me. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, just take the word not out of there. But I will answer, and they shall find me. Oh, no. You know, you start messing with the word not, and now you got a perverted God. You know, the God of the Bible draws a line. He draws a line for people. And you take it too far, and he's like, fine. And so when your calamity comes, you know, he's going to laugh. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God that people don't want to hear about. In Psalm 2, can you imagine the God of the Bible, the God who's all unconditional love, he's laughing when your calamity comes? Psalm 2:4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. You know, you get out on the street, and they believe in this God that accepts them, this unconditional love and whatever they do. But I'll tell you, when they hear about this type of God, it takes them aback. I had a guy on the street, this was years ago, at the Final Four we were preaching, and I walked up to him to give him a track, and I said, hey, did you get a chance to get one of these? And he turned around and he started blaspheming God, and he started just, you know, among other things. Seth was with me. And so Seth got a little education there that day. And anyway, so later on, about an hour later, I saw him again. And, you know, so I walked up to him. I said, did you get a chance to get one of these? You know? Well, you know, he didn't like that at all. And he started blaspheming God again and all this other stuff. And then he talked about, and I said, well, that's not very nice. Well, I don't want to be nice. He goes, I don't love you. I said, that's okay, because God doesn't love you. He's like, whoa! And so here's this guy who's blaspheming God, among other things, and just this stuff spewing forth out of his mouth. But when I told him God didn't love him, he just, what do you mean God doesn't love me? What are you talking about? Why do you think he would? I mean, these kind of people, there's coming a time when God's going to laugh at them. He keeps on calling out, and he calls out, and he says, here, my son, here's the gift. Take the gift. And he's calling out, and people reject him. People state, you know what? I'm righteous enough as it is. I'm fine the way it is. and take your blankety-blank God out of here. But when you tell them about the God of the Bible, that God, whoa, they're taken aback. Maybe I gave them something to think about, you know? I mean, what an amazing thing. Second Chronicles. People say, well, that's kind of harsh to tell somebody God doesn't love them. Have you ever read any old-time sermons? I mean, man. You know, the great revivals we had and what they preached, it's an amazing thing. They just don't preach that way anymore. In 14, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 14, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words, misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Man, do you think, listen, they mocked the prophets of a holy God. They laughed at him. And God finally poured out his wrath on his chosen people. You know, the same people that are going to be the top nation one day. And don't you think that God's going to pour out his wrath on a lost and dying world that continually rejects his words and his the words of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, he'll do it. You start messing with the word not, and you're just going to have a perverted God. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3. And you know, that's what happens when you start messing with the Word of God. So you have Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, so they may have the right to the tree of life. Oh, that shouldn't be there. Well, that must be a scribal error because it just doesn't go along with my theology. Well, you know what? It doesn't have anything to do with us anyway. You don't have to do his commandments to have a right to any tree. All you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have the life living inside you. You know? But I'll guarantee you there's many a Baptist that'll go to that verse and they'll change it. And it's just as bad as changing this. It's just as bad as messing with the word not. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3, it says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy, colon, they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So if you mess with the word not here, what you are going to do is you're going to pervert what the Lord wants to show you about the future, about the church age and about the second coming and about the nation of Israel and their place in the millennium. Because that's what's happening here. Many time in the Bible, you have a colon or a comma separating periods of time. And so you even have Scofield, and I don't even know if Scofield approved this. This is an original Scofield Bible, but he says to take out the word not here. Do you know what that does? That questions the holy words of a holy God. You know? That one little note right there is putting in the minds and hearts of Christians and lost, saying, well, if that doesn't matter, then nothing matters. You start changing one, you can change others. But here, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Well, here's the church age. Do you think the Jews have been having a good time since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? You know, I don't think so. They even said his blood be on us and our children. 6 million Jews in World War II, they're constantly being moved around. All for centuries they were shoved in ghettos. You know, even now, you think they're just having a great time over there in Israel? How would you like to live the way they live? They go to the store. They don't know whether there's going to be a suicide bomber or not. You know? And they live through it. It's an amazing thing. But then, we've got Jesus Christ coming back after the colon. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Well, there you go. When Jesus Christ comes back, we have the early and the latter rain coming. And it has nothing to do with speaking in tongues or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It has to do with a literal rain, and we got a literal harvest. And the joy, the Jews will have joy when Jesus Christ comes back. Here, I'll show you something else. Go to Isaiah 61. Some of you know this, some of you may not. Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4. But I'll tell you know, a colon and a comma can divide quite a bit in the Word of God. Quite a many years. And you start messing with the word not because you don't understand it. you know, you're gonna close a lot of the Bible off to you. It says here, talking about in verse 1, 61, Isaiah 61, 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he goes on. And in verse 2, he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. And so over in Luke 4, he's in a synagogue, and he gets a scroll, and all of a sudden he's reading out of it in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, period. He didn't finish the verse. And so you have a comma there dividing the acceptable year of the Lord in Isaiah 61 and the day of vengeance of our God. And that comma now represents 2,000 years. And you don't think a colon can represent 2,000 years in the Bible? I mean, that's good Bible study. Go to Genesis chapter 49. If I can ever get to it. This is a prophecy Jacob's giving his sons, and in verse 10, prophecy about Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. This is Genesis 49:10, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass his colt unto the choice vine, semicolon, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. You got first coming, then a semicolon, and then a second coming. And here, in verse 12, his eyes shall be red with wine, comma, and his teeth white with milk. Now, I believe that, I'm not sure all that it points to, but I believe that his teeth white with milk is first coming. And the eyes red with wine is a second coming. And a lot of times in the Bible, God doesn't go chronologically. And you wonder why the prophets had a hard time figuring stuff out. Because they didn't know what was coming, you know. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the disciples had to be told because they didn't know what was going on. And so here you have a second coming and then a first coming. Boy, that's confusing. In verse 24, it says, but his bow abode in strength. The arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, comma, the stone of Israel. There's the shepherd, the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. And there's the stone that basically breaks that image of Daniel. And he's coming back. First coming, second coming. You start messing with the word not, and you know you might as well mess with everything else. You might as well mess with the semicolons and the commas. The Jehovah Witnesses mess with the commas. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, I'll just move the comma. I say unto thee today. Oh, you'll be with me in paradise someday. You know, just move a comma. Change the whole thing. People say, well, that's not very important. Go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, and what do I have here? Verse 8, 29 verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye caused to be dreamed. Just take the knot out of there. Let your prophets deceive you. Let your diviners, let them deceive you. You know, hey, you know what? Most Christians are doing that anyway. They love being deceived today. They love being... Listen, you give them the Bible and they cringe. You give them anything outside the Bible, give them some New Age stuff, just give them anything and they love it. They eat it up. They have... they love heaping themselves teachers. They have itching ears. Isaiah verse 8, chapter 8, verse 20, says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And I just wanted to read you, this is one of my Catholic Bibles, and in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, it says, to the rod rather and to the testimony. And if they speak not according to this word, they shall have not have the morning light. Okay, that's a little bit different. Well, hey, if you just mess with the word not, you can just do whatever you want to do anyway. You know, they don't not have the morning light. No, because there's no light in them. There's no light in them. It has nothing to do with morning light. What does that mean? The clouds came in or what? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. What's that, Delta dawn? What is that? I mean, what? That verse I quoted, John 14, verse 23. John 14, verse 23. Jesus says in the King James Bible, he says, if a man love me, excuse me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words, plural. And look what it says here. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He will obey my teaching. The Catholic Bible changes words just to word, just a plain old word. And that's what you get when you mess with the word not. In Isaiah 29:9, you can go there. I'm going to read this. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, hey, go ahead and drink. Just take the knot out of there. You're wise. You're cool, man. It's all right. You know. Proverbs 23:31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Well, look on it. Go ahead and look on it. Savor it. Stick your finger in it. Do whatever you want, you know. It doesn't matter, because the word not really isn't that important. You can just take it out of there, change it. That's what everybody else does. Isaiah 29, verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. Man, you know, you start messing with the words of God, and God will send you a deep sleep. You know, kind of like what you guys look like right now. God will set. Listen, a lot of people don't realize that the God of the Bible will send you a delusion. And if you as a Christian don't think you can be deceived and that God will allow it, if you stray from this book, you're deceived. You are deceived. Any one of us here can be deceived. We stray from this book. We start correcting this book. We can be deceived about a great many things. In Isaiah chapter 66, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Well, you know what? We don't tremble at his word anymore. We'll just take out we can take out a word here, and I take out a word there, and add a word here. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions. Hey, listen, you start messing with the word of God, and God will choose your delusions. He'll put a spirit of deep sleep on you. He'll give it to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're going to be open to deception. You start messing with the word not, just one little three-letter word. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is my favorite chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, they call it the love chapter, but it's charity. Charity, not love, okay? And charity is a little bit different than love, you know? And nowadays, you start taking charity and you change it to the word love, and you've got too many people running around with a kind of a sewer's idea of love, you know. And so when they hear the word love, they think lust. But when you hear charity, is that the first thing that comes into your mind? No, it is not. Because every word of God is pure. And the King James translators knew what they were doing when they said charity. You start messing with the word not. Look at this. Talking about charity in verse 5. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And you go through there, you mess with the word not, and you have a perverted view. Charity's perverted. It's perverted. It's messed up. I mean, you have charity rejoicing in iniquity. And you have charity behaving unseemly, seeking her own. And it's just because of one three-letter word you're messing with. Charity doesn't do those things, but you start messing with it, and I'll guarantee you it will. It will. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to move along. These are some places in the Bible where you start messing with the word not, and well, it just you're just going down the wrong road, and it'll snowball on you. It'll snowball on you like this big storm we got. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. You start messing with the word not. Hey, why don't you just be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Just go ahead. Take the word not out of there. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It's just one word. It's just one three-letter word. And you know what will happen? You're going to defile the temple. You're going to go down the road. You start messing with this book, and you will defile the temple. You know, I've seen too many people, both teens and adults, messing around with unbelievers. And listen, don't do it. And I've seen it too, where Christianity Today, you've got Jerry Falwell's Moral Majority. You don't think that he was unequally yoked together with unbelievers? You know, you got people out there protesting abortion. And you know what? Abortion is wrong. But they get together with unbelievers. They unequally yoke themselves together with unbelievers for a good cause. And you know what? They're defiling the temple. They're defiling the temple. And they defile the gospel. They compromise the gospel. People go to hell because of it. You know, a lot of people think, you know, somebody like Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham's led many people to the Lord. Yeah? Well, you know what? I think Billy Graham's led many people to hell, too. I don't think people realize how many people he's led to hell with the way he's doing and what he doesn't say. You know, I still remember the time that he came in town in 1996, and I went to a friend's wedding at Epiphany Catholic Church over here, and in the church all the way through, you had Billy Graham posters up there. Go to the Billy Graham Crusade and renew your faith. You know, so they prep these Catholics who are lost to go down there. They go walk down the aisles, and they don't get the gospel. They're just going down there in their minds. They're already prepped to renew their faith, not their faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have it, you know. And then what do? Oh, you're from the Catholic Church? They send them to Catholic counselors. That's how they do it. That's how Billy Graham has done it for years. And I'll guarantee you, a lot of people that walk down that aisle and go down there leave just as lost as they came. And in a lot of ways, they're more fervent about the churches that they're in. You know, the darkness that they're in because they went through it. There have been people that got saved, but there have been many people that go to hell. And that's what happens when you mess with the word not. That's what happens. Go to 1 John chapter 2. And don't worry, I only have a few more. No, actually, this is the last one. It's almost done. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, you know what? Go ahead, love the world. Be like Demas. Demas was okay. He just took out the word not. You know? Go love the world. You know, the world loves you, at least for a little while, you know, before they chew you up and spit you out and you have nothing left. And, you know, by the time you get done, listen, when the world gets done with you, you know, the sad thing is, it's not that you can't come back. It's not that the Lord Jesus Christ won't welcome you back. It'll be very hard to come back, though, because you won't want to, you know. There's, you know, a lot of times pride's lifted up. And we don't want to deal with the shame of actually going out there, screwing up, you know, messing with the world, and then coming back. That's a long, hard road to come back. I encourage you, don't go down that road. You know, I have to fight off stuff every day, you know, myself. But I'll guarantee you this, it's not a good thing that I was in the world and I was lost in the world and I experienced all that stuff that I experienced. That's not a good thing. What is a good thing is I got called out of it, and I'm not going back by the grace of God, you know. Love not the world. Listen, if you're loving the love of the Father is not in you. That means if you're loving the world, there's no room for you to love the Father. You're loving something else. You know, covetousness is idolatry. You know, you mess with the word not, and that's what you get. That's what you get. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you again for a perfect book. And I pray that you deal with our hearts. Help us to love this book. And not just love it with our lips, but love it with our actions. Love it with what we do. And I pray that you'd help us always to go to it, not judging it, but letting it judge us. I pray that you'd help us to go out and especially be faithful to thee. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to 224.
Thank you.
yourself for